I want to say this morning that I really sincerely appreciate everything that you've done. Now, you might say, well, Brother Pike, you told us that before. Well, you've done it again. So if you do it again, I'll tell you that again. Praise the Lord. So I appreciate what you've done. I don't take for granted what you've done last week that, you know, for this week. I appreciate what you've done this week. I appreciate what you do every day of your life for Jesus. I appreciate that. And I thank God for you, because every week that you do something new, you have to labor anew. And the Bible said God is not forgetful of our labor in the Lord. So then if God's not forgetful, how could I ever be forgetful? Now I would sin against the people. Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against the people by not praying for them. Did you know a pastor sins against the flock and against the people when he fails to pray for them? That's a sin and a trespass against the people. A lot of folks wonder why we have to pray. They say, well, I don't see any need of praying. I don't see any point of getting down on my knees and talking to God. But listen, folks, did you know that God can't deal with the man across the street unless somebody prays for him if that man's not a Christian? Now you say, Brother Pike, do you really expect me to believe that God, Almighty God, can't deal with that man over there across the street unless I pray for him? That's exactly right. He cannot speak to him. He cannot get to him. He cannot commune with him unless you pray. That's right. That's why the Bible said we stand in the place of the Lord Jesus Christ, beseeching the world to be reconciled unto God. Now, for many years in my life, I didn't know this, but God revealed it to me one day, the necessity of prayer. And he spoke to my heart and said, son, I want to show you something that you've never seen. And it was true. He revealed something to me I had never seen. But it's utterly impossible for God to speak to anyone that is not a Christian unless somebody prays for them. That's why he looks for somebody to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge. He's got to have somebody. Now then, he has no fellowship with darkness and no fellowship with evil. None whatsoever. Therefore, he said, you pray that God will grant repentance unto life unto them. You pray that God will do it, because they are there without repentance unto life. And you must, now he said, but the Bible said, Brother Pike, that God would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. That's right. In the last days, God pours out his spirit upon all flesh. His grace, it is the days of grace. That's what he means by that. But in this time, that grace is everywhere. The rain comes upon the just and the unjust. He's in the days of grace, or that is to say that out here he's partakers of the fatness of the ground just like you are. He's partakers of the fatness of the dew of heaven just like you are. He's partakers of the created handiwork of God just like you are. The blessings of God come down upon the just, therefore the unjust has they can have a part of that. But now when it comes to dealing with their heart, somebody has got to intercede. And when you intercede, God can't he can't reward that man. He can't deal with that man. He can't do it. But he can through your prayer. He can through your prayer. When you say, God, have mercy on my loved one, Achunda, then God can have mercy on him for you. He can reward him for your sake, because you got a communion with God. A lot of people say, oh, there ain't nothing to that, Brother Pike. Then why does it say the prayer of the wicked is abomination in the sight of God? Why does it say that we know that God heareth not sinners? Is that right? The Bible said that. Somebody said, but they're good people. They use Cornelius, you know, and they say, well, they give, they're good people. The Bible said the offering of the wicked is abomination in the sight of God. God's angry with the wicked every day. God will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. God hath no fellowship with the wicked. Amen. Darkness and light hath no fellowship whatsoever. So the only way he can speak to them is for you to pray. That's why he told you to pray for all men. Paul said, I want supplication and prayer offered for all men, including the presidents, Paul said, and the kings and the magistrates of the land. We should pray always and not faint. We should pray for the president. The president isn't going to make the right decision unless somebody prays. You say, how do you know that? Because God isn't going to get close enough to him to tell him the right decision. And in his present state of mind, the Bible said that the sinner or the wicked is taken into captivity at the will of Satan. So whatever Satan wants, that's what's going to happen. Unless somebody prays for the president and God can dispatch an angel to come down and sweep over him to give him a super intelligence to get around that thing. Not because he's a Christian, but for the sake of God's people. Amen. Praise God. Now, I know some of you don't believe that. I can tell from your spirits that you didn't get that. And you don't believe it. But I don't expect you to. You just wait. You get a little further along and you'll see that that's the truth. So then, I don't expect you to get everything I say. But I do expect you to consider it, because you'll see how foolish you was down the road when you find out that it was the word of the Lord. So, it's true, we got to pray. There is a need to pray, my brother. There is a need to pray, my sister. We need to pray. Pray. Pray for the land. Pray for the people. Did you know that's one of the troubles of the United States, Brother Charlie, right now? We used to have praying people, but you hardly find anybody praying anymore. Did you know 10 years ago, I guess it was, a survey was taken in the Church of God, the elders, which was about the closest church to God at that time. And they said their people never averaged 3 minutes prayer a day. Their people never averaged 3 minutes prayer a day. I was about the closest sect of people to God, and even they didn't average 3 minutes prayer a day. So that put some of you in bad shape, don't it? That was 10 years ago. I guess they about stopped altogether now. So then you see there's a need to pray. That's why our land is getting corrupt. That's why we've got beatles and beatniks and all these things just roaming the country, because we quit praying the devils off of the people. Quit praying the devils off of the people. But if we'll pray and get in touch with the Lord Jesus Christ, I promise you something will take place. Something will take place. Things will change if you pray. When a storm comes up, you know what I do? I pray. Somebody said, well, I just hope everything's going to be all right. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Hope it ain't going to be good enough. You're going to have to pray. Pray. Praise God. When something comes up that's unlike Jesus or something is troubling, I go pray. I pray for you people. Right yesterday in the storm, I pray, God, don't let these people be hurt. Don't let nothing happen to these people. I pray for everybody, but especially, the Bible said, do good to all men, but especially to them that be of the household of faith. He put a specialty on that. Amen. So then, I like to treat everybody nice, but he said especially to them that labor in the gospel, give them double honor. I love to recognize everybody, but I love to doubly recognize them that labor in the gospel. Praise God. So then, there is a need, my brother and my sister, to pray. I don't know whether anybody heard the broadcast last night or not. I clearly forgot it. I forgot it. I don't know why, I just got to talking and I just went off to bed and I forgot it. And I don't know where anybody heard it now, but today, maybe somebody will hear the broadcast today. I'd like for at least one to hear it every once in a while to make sure that we're getting on down there and that we get a little criticism as to whether the message is clear or whether it's beneficial or not. How many of you believe we ought to be interested in God's money enough to kind of listen? Somebody said, but Brother Pike, at 12 o'clock at night? Well, I don't see anything wrong with that. Jesus prayed all night long. Some of you don't even go to bed till 12 o'clock. Praise God. Some of you do go to bed, you and your wife has it out till after 12 o'clock, so you still have time to listen. Might be a good excuse to break the argument. Just come on XCRF. Praise God. So, I praise God for your efforts and what you're doing in the Lord Jesus. And I want to say that I appreciate the way that you have given. And I'm not saying that through psychology. I know preachers use psychology, you know. And they flatter people and they dig a pit for them to fall in. And some of them use the psychology, and they tell you that they're not using psychology so that they can use psychology, and on and on. But I'm not doing that. I'm just telling you just like I feel about it. And I thank God for you. Somebody told me the other day, said, I've never seen any people like these. And I've had numbers of people to say that coming from different places around the country. Folks, don't ever get satisfied with what you've done for Jesus. Don't ever get satisfied. What you've done yesterday, that's good. But what we're going to do about today and what we're going to do about tomorrow, we're going to be rewarded for yesterday according to what we've done yesterday.
That's right. But that won't have anything to do with today. Did you know that? You say, but I prayed yesterday, but that won't do. What you've done yesterday won't do. That's right. It won't do. Because the Bible teaches God reward every man according as his work shall do or be. And the Bible said that he's not forgetful of our labor in the Lord. He follows up the prayers of the saints, everyone that's prayed, he bottles it up, and then at the right time he opens it as sweet-smelling incense before God. That's what Revelation was over there, the sweet-smelling incense of the prayers of the saints have been bottled up. God opened them at his pleasure. That's right, just like you use a bottle of perfume, you know, or you want to spray the house and give a freshener, and God wants to, he just opens a bottle of the prayers of the saints. Praise God. So you've got to do something today, because you definitely will not be rewarded today for what you've done yesterday. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Well, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. That's still the Bible. Now, you say, you mean to tell me, Brother Pike, that I won't draw anything today off of what I did yesterday? I don't mean that. I mean there's blessings and reward, but I'm speaking of eternal life. Now, God may keep rewarding you here, but that's going to run out after a while. You buy something this week and you put it in the refrigerator. You may eat off of it next week, but you just don't put nothing in this week for the next week and see it. Look at the refrigerator. You understand what I mean? So you got to keep something going in if you want something coming out. Is that right? Amen. So then that's what I'm trying to tell you. Yesterday won't do for today. So let's keep doing something. You never be satisfied with what you've done for God. Because everybody here this morning has done too little for Jesus. Amen? I said everybody here, including me, has done too little for Jesus. So you have no place to stop. You say, but I've done more than another fellow. Most likely you haven't done as much because you feel like you've done more. That makes what you've done even less than what they've done. Amen? You say, is that right? What about the widow that dropped in her 2 mites? She hadn't done near as much as the other people, had she? But God rewarded her more, didn't he? Why, it was her attitude and motive toward it. See, so then some of you haven't done as much as the others. Amen. Praise God. That's true that when you start telling people the truth, something starts happening. We told a boy that had married our cousin years ago, we told him about Jesus. He got along real good, but we began to tell him the truth, and he wound up in prison. He wouldn't go that way, so he wound up in prison. He and his wife had nothing but heartaches and sorrows. We had talked to a number of them, and Brother Jerry was telling me that a boy that had been coming down here, his brother-in-law, that we talked to him the other night. I preached here and preached to a couple of the daughters, the sisters. And I felt like that we ought to have a respond, but they didn't respond, and already understand the boy's broke his leg or his arm, and some things has happened to him, and maybe the girl got her finger cut bad, and the boy's having to be off from work altogether, and it's really, really hurting the girl. I think she's having trouble working also. So see, something happens. Like Brother Zell witnessing to his in-laws there, something happened. And we started witnessing to our people on both sides. Betty, something started happening. And one right after another began to die out. Betty's people, I witnessed to them, they began to die out. And they looked like they'd lingered on for years and years and hadn't hardly lost any of them. But we started witnessing one right after another began to go out. And so see, something happens. God's just obligated to keep you straight till you can hear the gospel. And then after that, he ain't obligated to keep you no more. You say, Brother Pike, how can I obligate God to keep me in this world? Be useful. Be useful. If you want to stay on a man's job, be useful. He'll keep you. Amen? Be useful. So then the Bible said that he that considereth the cause of the poor, he shall dwell in the land, and verily he shall be fed. He shall dwell in the land. Like last night, Satan told me, said, somebody come to me in a vision or a dream last night, and said there's something about Walter Bales, somebody connected with Walter Bales. I always said Walter Bales or somebody connected with Walter Bales, but it must have been somebody connected with Walter Bales was going to die. And then he came like he was me. And so sure enough, I guess it was death jumped on me. He's done it a lot of time. And I just thought, in the name of God, I thought, no, you ain't going to kill me. No. Praise God, I ain't ready to die yet. I got some things to do. Somebody say, you talk like a fool. No. Jesus said, God, give me the power to lay my life down and take it up. Amen. We're a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you believe us or not, I've had him to jump on me many times in years gone by and was taking my life. And I mean, I done got to the last go of him. It wasn't just, you know, a lot of times somebody feel a little pain across here, you know, and they think you're dying. Or they get a headache, or they feel funny, or their blood rushes to their head, and they feel sick in their stomach, or they have a little shortness of breath. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about dying, folks. When you're dying, amen, I've had the devil to jump on me when I was dying. But I said, no, Satan, I'm not going to die. No, no. Hey, so you're crazy. No, I'm not. Well, I'll tell you what, when you tell him you're not planning to die, you better not just be making believe. You better believe it. Just like me, I'm going to take a trip around the world for Christ and preach around the world. Somebody said, now you ain't got no money. How do we believe that? You know what? You just wait and see when I board the plane. And you say, well, boy, did I have faith that powerful that thing, didn't you? Now, wait till I get on the plane and then you believe it because I'm going to get on the plane and I'm going to go around the world and preach the gospel. Amen. I'm going to do it. God done showed me I'm going to do it. Glory to God. Somebody said, who are you trying to convince? You. Not me. Praise God. So then, like Brother, I don't see Brother Boss here today, but Brother Boss said the Lord told him he was going to go to Jerusalem, you know. And so I laughed and said, well, I mean, you don't have any money to take a trip to Jerusalem? See, but I'm going because God showed me I was going. Well, they say he that lasts the last, you know, lasts the lightest. So his life was lighter because he went to Jerusalem. God worked a miracle and gave him the money. I think it took $1,000 or better, but God gave it to him. So then I believe in faith. I believe in faith. I believe God will lead us. And that's strange I'm talking about that because that's what I want to talk about this morning. Now I know it disappoints some people because they thought this fool to preach. And I was going to let somebody preach, but it looked like it, when too many gets to thinking they're supposed to preach, well, God do something. Amen. Amen. I felt like the Lord can give me something anyway, so. Amen. All right, now, you know, I don't preach much as a rule. I let the other brethren preach because I love to hear. All right, now, in the book of Hebrews, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn over to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Now, in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, in it was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child, when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense and the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time that failed me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of the lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might attain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mocking and scourging. Yea, moreover, bound in imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these, all having obtained a good report, through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now then, a lot of times I like to read a whole chapter because it seems like that we get such little of the Word of God. Some people hardly ever read the Word of God, Brother Charlie, and if you don't read it to them when they come to the house of God, as a rule, they go off not knowing the Word of God. And I have to read maybe a portion of the Word of God sometimes and then expand it to you, but then I have to read just what Jesus had to say about it. Now then, in the face, Paul said, of all of these great witnesses, I think it would do us good to stop and take things into consideration, don't you? Amen. Now, when we waver because we get some little sickness in our body, or because the devil jumps on us, when the Bible teaches that through Christ we're more than a match for Satan, amen, for God that loved us, we're more than a match for these things. And then when we do these things and we let the devil take advantage of us, it highly displeases God, because Satan is no match for the Son of God. And it displeases God when we allow the devil to come in and take advantage of us, and when we don't exercise our faith. God wants a people that will exercise faith. Hallelujah. God wants somebody that he can trust in, that every time some little something happens, that they won't take the tuck head, as the world says, and go off defeated. But you know the thing that kept the some of them out of the Canaan land was that they came back with reports that discouraged the hearts of the people. They testified of defeat
rather than testify of the victory that God has placed within the church in the wilderness. I praise God today because I got a testimony, glad tidings of great joy, hallelujah, that we're able to take the land. We're more than able to take the land because God is on our side. Amen. And God is the majority. I might not be able to pray like Elijah, but praise God, I can believe like Elijah. You say you can't do it unless you do the things you've done. That's wrong. I said that's wrong because God has given us grace. Amen. If everybody had to pray and believe like those men back there in that day, then you'd never get anything from God because our people don't hardly do nothing in this day. I say that we got people that really fast. They sure do. They drink cocoa and soda pop and everything they can get a hold of. And the Bible said in the day of their fast, if they're not doing that, they're finding pleasure by riding here and going yonder and everywhere else and visiting and doing everything else, not getting away with God. Amen. Praise God. I made the statement not too long ago that these men that are supposed to be doing all this consecrating were doing what they proposed to do or what they advertised that they were doing. They turned the world upside down. Amen. The Bible said the early church turned the world upside down. Hallelujah. Praise God. So these men have come here to turn the world upside down. That's what Christians are supposed to do, is turn the world upside down. The devil's got it wrong side up and we need to turn it back to where it belongs. Amen. I believe that God has given the Christians power to turn the world upside down. Amen. It's in perversion to get the things straightened out. Praise God. When it speaks of Elijah, he speaks of the prophets of old, said these men were men of like passion as same as you and I. They were of like passion, but they prayed earnestly that it might not rain. The Bible said, and it rained not for the space of 3 years and 6 months. Why? Because they believed. They believed. Women believed. Women believed. The Bible said that women believed to the point that God raised their loved ones from the dead. A lot of times women say, well, we feel so underprivileged, we just can't do this. I'll tell you right now, if some of you'd live like Mary did, you wouldn't feel underprivileged. Mary lived soberly. She didn't go around being some protruding, outstanding person in fashions and a protruding body and a protruding attitude that the world can look at. But she was faithful. She was loyal. She was a simple, downright sort of a person. Amen. But God was watching her. And today she's one of the greatest celebrities in the earth. Nobody has talked about more than Mary. As a matter of fact, I wonder sometimes if they talk about Jesus as much as they do Mary. That's right. Some people, I wonder if they talk about Jesus as much as they do Mary. That's right. So then God blessed that woman over there when the little woman came and poured out the spikenard and the precious ointment upon Jesus. That seemed like a simple thing, didn't it? All the big dignitaries sitting around and eating with Jesus. Right here in fellows, you know. But that woman didn't feel herself good enough to do nothing like that. She didn't come in that kind of spirit, but she came with humility and she knelt at the feet of Jesus. Amen. And she took the spikenard and whatever it was, and she poured it out on Jesus. And some of them began to complain and said, aha, aha, if he'd been a prophet. How many times do you hear that? Aha, if he was what he said he is, why can he don't know what's going on, somebody said. Amen. He knew what was going on. Somebody said, if he's a prophet, why doesn't he know what this little woman is? She's a prostitute. He knew what he was. But you know the glory of Jesus? He could know what you was and know that you wasn't fit for nothing and still love you. Amen. That's better than some of you can do. I said that's better than some of you do. Amen. He could know just how bad you really was and still love you. Praise God. Some of you, if you know anything wrong about a person, you have to highlight it. You have to magnify it. That's your whole conversation. Well, thank God for the conversation of Jesus. Amen. Let your conversation be in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal. That's where your treasures are. That's where your treasures are. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody said, well, I praise God for one thing, and that's that Pentecost is a real experience. They say salvation is a real experience, Brother Pat. All you got to do is just get an experience. I've got some news for you this morning. Glad tidings of great joy. If getting right with God wasn't more than an experience, I'd just leave you alone. I've had an experience with a lot of things. But getting Christ. It's alive. It's a new world. It's a new creature in Christ. Amen.
Praise God, because some people talk about Jesus every once in a while. They think they're really doing something, you know. They say every once in a while we'll have a good conversation about Christ. My brother, my sister, it's Jesus in the morning. It's Jesus at the noontime. It's Jesus when the sun's going down at my house. Amen. It's Jesus when I wake up in the middle of the night. Hallelujah. It's Jesus. We wake up talking about Jesus. This morning when I woke up, I listened in the kitchen. I heard Betty and the sister back here and Brother Charlie. They were just going. I heard Betty say something about the Lord. I know I forgot my belt. Amen. So then, Betty's talking about Jesus. Praise God, I thought about it, but me and Charlie got to talking and forgot about it. The devil told me one time, said, what are you going to do someday? You go to church and forget your belt. Well, here it is. I said, here it is. Amen. Lord God, preach just like it didn't even happen. Amen. So I heard him talking about God, and I thought, isn't that wonderful? Praise God, wake up in the morning, and all you know is Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah, you're talking about Jesus in the morning. When somebody comes to visit with you, Brother Jim, you say, come on in, we'll talk about Jesus. Hallelujah, you talk about Jesus at the meantime. I remember that little old woman, showing the Lord, failing, passing on into another world. And I went over to consolate her, offer some consolation, and talk with her. And she looked up with that little frail body, that little Negro woman, looked up and just so frail and so puny about God. And she grinned at me and she said, it's Jesus in the morning, it's Jesus at the noontime. She said, it's Jesus when the sun's going down. Amen. The sun was going down for her. And she knew it, but with faith in God, she wasn't afraid, Brother Gonzalez. She said, it's Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. I'll tell you something, folks. You may think you got the victory till old man death comes around. I said, you may think you got the victory until that shadow of evil begin to come over your body, and then you'll find you got a change of heart. Then it'll be a testing time, Brother Gerald. It'll prove whether or not all this gossip, all these things that you were saying, all these things that was going through your mind, whether it was faith building or not. Paul said, not joking and jesting, which is not convenient, but rather than the giving of thanks. Hallelujah, to live every minute like it's the last minute, because who knows when the last minute's coming? Who knows? You know, I'd love to be able, Daddy, at the last minute to be talking about Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hope when death hits me, I hope the last word I'm saying is, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The first words I say when I open my eyes on the other side, I hope I say, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we got some people in their church, they're afraid you'll speak the name Jesus. They're afraid that you'll glorify Jesus. But I don't know nothing but Jesus. Amen. When I stood up on the mountain up there, somebody said, but Scott, I ain't one of them Jesus onlys. But the Bible said when they stood up on the mountain and the great cloud in its brightness overshadowed them, and Peter was there, and Jesus was there, and the apostles was there, and Moses and Elijah appeared there. Moses was a great man. Elijah was a great man. But when the cloud appeared, they went away, and nobody was left. The Bible said the only thing was left was Jesus only. I said everything's passing away, but Jesus only. Amen. Somebody said, Brother Patrick, you surprised me. Well, bless your heart, I didn't know that. I said everything's fading away, but Jesus only. Amen. Everything's gone, but Jesus only. Said, wasn't nothing left but Jesus only. The doctrine of Moses passed away, and the doctrine of Elijah passed away, and finally they had to listen to Jesus only.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody said, no, I know you're Jesus only. Hallelujah. Only Jesus is very chosen. Amen. Glory to God, I believe, my brother, that we ought to stop fussing about feeble things like that. That's right. Somebody said, well, what about the Church of God? Well, I'm Church of God too. Paul said, the Church of God that's over you, and I'm Church of God too. Somebody said, but what about the assemblies? I'm assembly too. Hallelujah. The Bible said, forsake not the assembly to serve together. And in the original Greek, really, it was the assemblies of God. And the Church of God changed it to Church of God. Amen. So we have a little dispute over that, you know. Now, somebody said, what else are you? Me and Jim was talking over there. I said, I'm Baptist too. I'm Baptist too. Praise God. I said, now you got me confused. Sure enough, I thought you was Jesus only. I said, I'm Baptist too. Hallelujah. The word Baptist means to baptize, and I believe in baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus for which you sin. Amen. Somebody said that wasn't the way John baptized. Yes, it was. Said, I baptize you under repentance and believe on the name which comes a little later. Amen. Getting ready for the name. That was the only baptism he knew. Because there ain't no other. I said, there ain't no other. So he's baptizing and getting ready for the name. When Paul come along, Paul said, hey, you've been baptized in the name. Look, now John got us ready for it. All right, we'll baptize you now. They'll baptize you now. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There got to be a preparation, my brother and sister. Glory to God, we got you ready and we'll baptize you. What was it? It was faith in the name of Jesus Christ. To as many as believe, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. To as many as believe in his name. I said, it's a shame, my brother and sister. It's a reproach for us to let the devil kick us around. It's a shame when we get in a tight that we don't go to God and pray and we take the puck in. My wife gets upset at us and everything's going wrong. So, well, I guess it's going to be a separation. I said, you say, I guess it's going to be a separation. And I guess it will be, because you open the door for the devil, and that's all he needs. So somebody said, well, I guess it'd be a separation. A lot of times it's because the wife ain't willing to live with the husband. She don't love him right to start with. I said, affections ain't on him to start with, and she's been waiting for the chance anyway. The only thing that bothers her, every time he leaves, she don't have no meat and bread, and she gets to putting two and two together, and then she comes back up with four. Amen. She figured if she's going to have a meal ticket, she better get him back. That's what I said. I said, that's what I said. Amen. Somebody don't believe it like that. That's the way it is. A lot of men are the same way, you know. They don't love their wife like they ought to. And all they're looking for is a little temper fit so they can slam the door and jump in the car and put a hop along cast and off the go. Amen. Act like a wild idiot. I said, act like a wild idiot. Amen. Glory to God, that's countrified talk. You say, is that in the dictionary? I don't know. I ain't educated enough to know. Anyway, that's the way I said it. Praise God. I believe you ought to love one another, John said. Love one another. Somebody said, my brother, God bless you, my brother. You hypocrite. You hypocrite. You don't no more love your brother than nothing. Amen. That's right. Amen. Some of you do a better job if you say, my sister. Because that's where your heart is. That's where your spirit is. I said, you're full of lust. That's the trouble with you. Amen. But when you love your brother, when you say, I love you, my brother, you better mean that. I said, you better mean that, because all lives will have a part of the fire. Glory to God. I thought so, Brother Al Gonzalez, the other day, out there. I was just thinking, all of a sudden the love of God came in my heart, and I looked at Al and I said, God, I love that old brother. Great big old 300-pound, I love you. Glory to God, I love you. Amen, that's right. Somebody said, my wife's too big. You ought to love every pound of her. She's yours. Amen. Glory to God, every pound of her is your wife. That's right. Hallelujah. Praise God, I love Brother Gonzalez, and I love you too. And I appreciate you. Hallelujah. And so then, I thought, God, I love him. And I thought about what Jesus said. Let us love one another. Love one another. Brother Johnny told me a lot of times, Brother Pike, I just have to get up here with the brethren. I love him. You say, Brother Pike, what's the need of loving one another? Because the Bible said this is the only proof that you pass from death unto life. This is the only proof of eternal life. There's nothing as strong as death but love. Love's as strong as death. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Every time a cloud comes up and you get the shakes and the trembles, it's because your heart ain't right with God. Amen. It's because you ain't right with God. The Bible said, he that's made perfect in love, he's not afraid. Somebody said, but don't you know you're liable to get killed? So what? I said, so what? What did we do? I said, what did we do to get killed? Ain't that where we're heading anyway with Jesus? Ain't that what we're looking for? Then Paul said, I have a desire to be with God, which is far better. Amen. Amen. So it's more needful for me to be down here. But he was ready to go. So I'm ready to be offered. Isn't that right? He didn't say, now, son Timothy, I commit these things to your charge. I'm going to be offered. He said, I'm ready. I'm ready. So I finished my course. Glory to God. I wonder how many this morning feel like you've really finished your course. And that with joy. That with joy. Yeah, I feel like preaching. Hallelujah. I know you probably should have shut up, but I feel like preaching. Thinking about faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God, faith. These men had faith. Women had such faith that the babies come back from the dead. The Bible said they had faith and they received their dead raised back. Somebody said, but I don't remember all the things recorded in the Bible. That's because it never was recorded. I said, the reason you don't know is because many of them never was recorded. But just because it wasn't recorded, that didn't mean it didn't happen. The Bible said if all the things Jesus done had been recorded, it wouldn't been, the world wouldn't be big enough to contain the books. Amen. That's right. There's a lot of things happening. I imagine Jesus healed hundreds and maybe thousands and multiplied thousands of people. Amen. Lame, blind, all these other things. Folks, I believe we ought to have faith. I believe without faith it's impossible to please God. You've got to have faith in God. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean by faith? Some of you have great faith, but your faith is like Peter's was to begin with. It's up and down. Up here in the midst of the brethren, the sisters, you got great faith. But then when you get by yourself out there, you don't have any power of resistance. You just go down just like the air that went out of a balloon. That's what Peter did. He had faith enough to walk on the water. And then the next minute he got his mind on the surroundings and was drowning. I said, the same Peter that had such faith that could raise the dead, heal people by shadow, and walk on the water, in 1 minute had surrendered up his faith and was sinking down beneath the raging waters. Somebody said, what happened to him? Somebody said, he just didn't have faith. How can you say a thing like that? A man walk on the water, and then you say he just didn't have no faith. Now, I tell you something, if Peter didn't have no faith, I think I'd just rack up and quit. There ain't no need of me trying. If a man heal people by shadow, resurrect the dead, and walk on the water, and if he ain't got no faith, there ain't no need of me trying. So you see, he did have faith. He did have faith. You say, well, why was he drowning? Because he wasn't using his faith. I said he wasn't using his faith. Somebody said, the reason I don't raise the dead because I ain't got that kind of faith. Who told you that? I said, who told you that? Amen. The Bible said, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. If you haven't got that faith, you're lost. You better have it. You better have faith to raise the dead. That's the only kind of faith there is. Faith to open the blind eyes. You say, now, wait a minute, Brother Pike, I'm getting confused. Well, why are you getting confused? See, Peter just didn't use it. 1 minute he was using it, the next minute he wasn't using it. Now, when Jesus was on the little boat over there, what did he ask him? What did he ask him? Amen. Did he say, you haven't got any faith? And here you are here in the middle of the ocean about to drown because you don't have any faith? Is that what he said? No, he said, where is your faith? Amen. Your faith. They had some faith. He said, what'd you do with your faith? What'd you do with your faith? When the devil jumps on you and you get a little headache, you get a little sickness, what did you do with your faith, my brother? What did you do with your faith, my sister? Glory to God. Somebody said, what happened to me, Brother Pike, is I don't know whether it's God's will for them things to happen or not. Well, you sure are a poor Bible scholar. You sure are a poor example of a Christian. The Bible said, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. I need my sanity, John. I need my life. I need my wife. I need my children. Or God never would instigate such a thing as you. I need to pay my bills to keep a testimony. Amen. Somebody said, I just can't hardly keep an automobile. Well, you need to get some faith. You need to stir it up. You say, well, you said I got faith if you've been born again. If you've been born again, but if you haven't been born again, you haven't got it. But if you have been born again, you need to use it. You need to use it. Hallelujah. I use my faith. I said, I use my faith. When the lightning starts, I go to praying. I don't just pray, but the Bible said, when you pray, believe. Somebody said, boy, I'm a real prayer when I say it ain't worth the time. I said, it ain't worth the time you take. You're not justified by being a prayer warrior. I said, there's no justification by being a prayer warrior. But by faith, the Bible said that Abraham was justified. Righteousness by faith, my brother. Amen. These things by faith. God wants you to believe. That's what God wants. God wants you to believe. Amen. So then it's faith not in your prayer. It's not faith in your fasting. It's not faith in your giving. It's not faith in how good you are, how much you come to church. When Peter healed that man over there, Peter didn't tell him how good he was, did he? He told them people, he said, why do you look on me like you do? Don't look on me like I'm righteous, Peter said. Don't look on me like I did this by my righteousness. He said it wasn't there. He said it was faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Paul said, if it's by works, then one of us is a little better than the other, boy, Charlie. If it's by works, then one of us is a little better than the other, because one fasts a little more, one prays a little more, one goes seek the Lord a little more. That's right. That makes one of us a little better than the other. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes I have prayed maybe 7, 8 times or more in a night, but that didn't make me a bit better than the rest of the prayed. I said I was justified freely by the grace of Jesus Christ. It wasn't a word, hallelujah. But it was of the glory and grace of God. Amen. I believe. Don't you believe? I believe. The Bible said to stop the mouth of the lion. I'll tell you what, when the lion roars, you better have faith. Somebody said that that was Daniel. They said, now, Brother Pike, that was Daniel. You know what? I talked to a lady missionary not too long ago out in California. And she told her husband was dead, and she gave her life to God after that. And went over in the mission fields and tried to work for God. She said, Brother Pike said, one day I was face to face with a lion. Said, she ran into a gorilla. She's walking through the jungle, and she ran into a gorilla. She said, as I was coming through the jungle, said, this was always the trail that I took, trying to get to the people that I was trying to tell about Jesus. And says, as I started through the jungle, she said, here I come face to face with a gorilla. A gorilla. This was the first thing. And so he walked over and said, he got my arm and was pulling me away and said, God caused somebody to come along that actually fighting the gorilla, and he lost his hold, and God saved me as I used my faith and was praying. Then she said that I got so scared I wouldn't go back through there. And said, finally God got a hold of my heart and said, she said, God, I got to go back. Isn't that something? Life and death, you got to go. Hallelujah. And so she went back through there and she said, lo and behold, here are a python. A huge python, and said it was right in her path, and she done got too close to it to do anything. And said she was so frightened, so scared, she didn't know what to do. And said she started to pray and using her faith, and said she started to back it up, step by step, like that. So she said, until God kept that thing back from bothering her until she got away from it. And then she had decided for sure she wasn't going back, but God got a hold of her heart. And she said she went through that again, and here stood a lion. She said, here come a lion, and she said, that is about God. So that lion was there, and said she knew she was a goer then. But said she used her faith in God. Said she trust God down to the end. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Have you ever been the place to trust God? Amen. When all hope is gone and you don't know what to do, and all of a sudden you're just about at the, you're ready to give up, and then something melts on the inside, and then you could face it. Well, you could face a lion. Amen. That's what she done. She faced a lion. And she stood right there, and by faith she conquered the thing and got away from him by faith. Amen. I think she said that was the last trip through there. But at any rate, she went back. She was determined. I just figured God must have been through with her over there. Amen. Amen. He intended to stop her because he was through with her. He might have seen where she really would have got hurt. Isn't that wonderful? I remember another occasion she told me, she said, Brother Pike, said, I was in my little old hut. And she said, over in Africa it was. So I was in the little hut and said, there wasn't nothing to fasten the door. And she said, all night long the lions paced around my hut. Said, all they had to do was just put their paw up and come in. But she said, never did God let one of them come in on me. Said, they paced around the hut. Said, they found the trails and knew there was out in the room, but said, they never come in. And she said, during the same time, I believe, when she was over there, she said that they had their paganistic practices and worship back up there, and said she heard all the noise and all the things that was going on, and said it terrorized her, and said fear was going through the village, and said, there she was, a woman all by herself, and said, God said, you go right up there where they're at. I want you to tell them about Jesus. She said, God. She said, I'm a woman. And we go up there where those wild men are, just me, a woman by myself. Said, he said, I want you to go up there. She said, she wouldn't go. She said, she just flat wouldn't go. Said, so she said, no, Lord, I can't go up there. Said, so she tired, and her heart got heavier, and the thing got bigger. And you know what? It's better to do anything than it is to disobey God. That's right. And she said, finally, the thing got so big, it didn't matter where she lived or died, she had to go. So she went right up there, walked right out in the midst of them, with their paganistic practices, and all the dances and voodoo and everything going on. And so she raised up her hand and told them, and she wanted to tell them about Jesus. Well, she said something really happened. Something really happened. I think what she said is also shocked that just stopped to think a woman would do that. And she told him about Jesus and converted the tribe. Converted the tribe. Isn't that wonderful? Somebody said, me, a poor little woman, I can't do anything. Oh, I tell you what, if you have a backbone instead of whooping up at every little thing that come along and being a crybaby, I said, some men are not crybabies. They don't bawl every time their husband hurts their feelings. They don't bawl every time they have a headache. Some women have courage. Amen. Like the women of the frontier days, wore the long dresses and was like a lady when the Indians was around the house and the arrows flying. They got right in there and they got them a gun shot just like the husband did. That's right. They laid the gun in and pulled the trigger just like the husband did. That's right. They had courage. They had courage. Amen. Boys back there, you didn't stop there. Now, I'm not saying we ought to practice this in this day, but since they didn't have no more knowledge in that back there, I believe God let them by with it. They went to church, Indians or no Indians, they went to church. They'd lay their guns across the shoulder and go to church. If they had to go Indian hunting on the way. I said, if they had to go Indian hunting on the way, they still took their guns with them. That's right. And as a result of it, hallelujah, our priests in Canada, we got a lot of converted Indians. I said, we got a lot of Indians that love God. Praise God. That's what we need to do is love them instead of killing them. We need to love them instead of killing them. Is that right? They found out if they loved them, if they could win them. Shooting them didn't stop them. When a man gets mad, shooting him won't stop him unless you finish him off altogether. But you can win people to God. Amen. Some folks ain't never going to win nobody to God. You know why? Because they got too much gossip. They find too much fault with them. They can't see beyond their faults. They can't look over their faults to be able to get to their soul. That's right. You know why that is? Because they themselves are not living a dedicated and a sanctified life enough to overcome the flesh in their own life. And every time they go to help that person, their flesh gets up there. All spirit of resentment. That old spirit of self-righteousness. That old thing, you know, that out there that, you know, loves the things of this earth. Gets up there in their mind and they can't fellowship them. I'm more holy than thou art. Somebody said, aha, that's what I said they was. You Jezebel, that's what you are. You Jezebel, right? Did you know that, speaking of the Jezebel church, let me say this. Somebody said, how do you know there's a Jezebel church? Because if Jezebel painted her lips and painted her face, and if you do it today, it's got to be the same spirit. Is that right? It's got to be the same spirit. If you do those things today, it's got to be the same spirit. Somebody said, but I wear long dresses. Wolves and sheep clothing. I said, wolves and sheep clothing. Evil spirits. Wolves and sheep clothing. Amen. God's looking on the heart. God's looking on the heart. You're playing the hypocrite. You'd be better off if you didn't wear one. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you wouldn't let me live here. Amen. I said, amen. And somebody said, I don't understand you. You don't let me live here. If we're going to run away in short dresses and let you say, I'm a wolf and sheep clothing if I wear a long dress. I said, I don't understand, ain't it? You have to read between the lines. That's right. You know what I mean? I mean, just because you're whooping a long dress, if you decide to take off the sheep clothing, I'm not going to let the wolf stay on the place. That's just an expose of what he was to start with. That's just proof to what I believed before. I love the Lord, don't you? You might as well say amen. I'm going to sit down and get ready anyway. I said, I quit with a pack of notions. You might as well say amen. I don't know what he's through. What is it? It's because those people had faith. They had faith. My brother, have you got faith? My sister, have you got faith? Have you got faith? Somebody said, I'm this, and I'm that, and I'm don't you know what I am? I ask you, did you have faith? God's no respecter of human person. Webster says a human person's your flesh and blood. God don't care if you got a pretty nose or a flat nose, bald-headed or fat, out of proportion. I ain't got nothing to do with it. Amen. The Bible said Jesus was a man. He wasn't beautiful. Had no beauty that any should desire. A man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. Countenance marred more than any man. He wasn't a pretty boy. They said he could get a big tent and a big attractive train on television and try to preserve his youth before he got old so everybody could see how good looking he was. I said, he wasn't like that. Amen. He wasn't like that. Mary wasn't some coarse girl that wanted to show off her legs. That's right. They wanted to go to the beauty parlor to have her hair pumped up here like a pumpkin on top of her head. Hell, Mary. She was a simple, down-to-earth woman that loved God. Full of the virtues of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what God's looking for. Kind and send to me in a low state. Not how much money and knowledge and integrity and prestige you got. That's not what he's looking for. Not how many talents and abilities you got. God wants to know one thing, my brother or sister. Have you got faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Enoch had a testimony before the rapture, his translation. He pleased God. He pleased God. John said, we have faith because we do those things that please God. Jesus said, I do always the things that please God. And the thing I'm interested in, are you pleasing God? If you got faith that pleasing God, if you don't have faith, I don't care what you're doing, it's self-centered and it's not pleasing God. Now, I'm going to say this and then I'm going to close. I don't judge people by what they do. God taught me a long time ago not to do that. I don't care how much they fast and how much they pray. I don't care how much they go preach. I don't care how often they come to church. I don't care how much they give. I don't care how they dress. I don't judge them according to that. I don't judge them according to that. God told me not to do that. But to judge righteous judgment, I judge them according to faith. If they've got faith in God. If they've got faith in God. When I go to pray for a man in the hospital, I go to pray for a woman in the hospital. They might be Catholic. They might be Baptist. They might be this or they might be that. Jesus never asked them who they was or how they was baptized or what they stood for. He never did that. But he asked them this one thing. If thou canst believe, if thou canst believe, why? Because God purifies the heart by faith. He purifies the heart by faith. So when I go in the hospital, I ask him one thing. Can you believe? Can you believe? Can you believe? If you can believe, then your faith will make you whole. Amen. I don't know what the man was at the gate called beautiful. The Bible doesn't tell us, does it? It don't say what he was. It just says he had faith. When Paul saw that man over there in his days, that he perceived that he had faith. Is that right? God is a spirit. You get him into your heart by faith, my brother and my sister. Amen. He said, why have we got to wear these long dresses? But, Pac, why are you so strict in teaching holiness? Because the Bible said be holy in body and in spirit. Is that right? Amen. A child's mind is doing. That's right. Amen. God converts you, my brother, by faith. He'll give you healing by faith. Is that right? But when it comes to salvation, your faith without works is dead. Amen. Now, you can put it together and figure it any way you want to. People said, repent. Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For all the missions here, talking about salvation now. Talking about salvation now. You understand what I mean? To as many as believe on his name. Somebody said, well, I believe. Well, let it be known by your works. James said, show me what you believe by what you do. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for a mission of sin and see the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's only you and your children. There's means to be a far feet, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. You believe it?
Amen.
Some of you have been baptized by women. You need to be baptized over.
Amen.
I said, some of you have been baptized by women preachers and women pastors. You need to be baptized over.
Right.
Somebody said, why do you say that? Because God never authorized the woman to baptize anybody.
Amen.
That was to the ministry. He told the ministry to go baptize.
Right.
And it's always been a strange thing to me. Well, why does the church say that the women can preach when they won't let them baptize anyway? Some of them get some little boldness and don't do it anyway, you know. But no church is a rule to let a woman baptize. That automatically proves she's not a minister. Because that was the commission of the minister was to go baptize him. That was the entrance into the church for the child. That automatically excludes you. So if you've been baptized by a woman, you need to be baptized over. God doesn't call women to preach. All right, let's stand together. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
God is good. God is good. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.